Welcome to Cycle Breakers and Money Makers, a podcast for women of color and first gen who are breaking generational cycles and glass ceilings by going places no one before them has ever gone. I'm your host, leadership coach, and eldest daughter of immigrants, Mariela Della Mora. I left a 16-year marketing career to create a multiple six-figure-a-year coaching business as a single mom. Each week, you'll learn how to build unshakable self-trust, become in demand, lead with confidence, and make more money by being more of who you are. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Cycle Breakers and Money Makers. Today, I'm going to be speaking with my client, Trish Santos. She is a feminine soft skills expert who helps modern women attract, transform, and create harmonious relationships. She is also the host of the Feminine Purpose podcast. So a little about Trish's story is that for over a decade, she struggled with restoring the natural yin-yang in her own marriage. She was raised by Filipino immigrant parents and was never modeled healthy relationship dynamics, as many of us were who are daughters of immigrants. And from the surface, she appeared successful. She had a degree from UC Berkeley. She makes six figures as a working professional in tech, and she's well-respected in her industry. But only those that were the closest to her knew that she struggled with her interpersonal relationships and letting go of control and feeling secure as a feminine woman. But after losing her dad last year in June, she decided to make a change in herself for her marriage. And that is how Feminine Purpose was born. And she is going to tell us all about that today. I'll also just share that Trish and I began working together in August. And there's so much about her story that I'm excited to share because she started essentially on the surface as a brand new coach. But the degree to which, like how quickly she started landing clients, like kind of one after another, there's so many lessons there that I want to dive into about why that happened. It doesn't just happen accidentally, and that you can be a brand new coach and land clients right away when you really truly are standing in your thought leadership, which Trish is. So we'll talk about that in this episode. So thank you, Trish, for being with us today.
Yes, I'm so excited, Mariela. You know, as a podcaster, it's so different to not be the person who's like in control of how the conversation is going to go. But in true form of my brand, I mean, it's just go with the flow. So I am looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah. And there's a lot that I've told you this before too. And like, I'm so excited to have a podcast so that I can kind of share this, is that like me as a coach, like I will see things sometimes that you are just like, yeah, I'm just being who I am. But you don't realize when something is exceptional, and exceptional meaning rare. And so that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today, because I think that like, not only did you do, you know, what you did with like creating the business, literally building from scratch. I still remember the day that you had the light bulb moment being like, Mariela, I know what I want to do. Like, I know who I want to serve. And it just poured out of you. Not just with that, but also like what you were working through in your life at the time, and the loss and all those things that we're going to talk about today. So that's the thing, is that it wasn't easy. But I want people to know that like it's possible even to do what you did and like have life happen and not feel like you have to shut it all down. You know what I mean? So to open, just tell us a little bit more about like who you are, what you do, who you serve, and just a little bit more kind of beyond like what we've shared.
Yeah, of course. So I'm Filipino American, first generation, which obviously is a huge reason why I decided to work with you when I was looking for a business coach back then in August time. And really, I have a completely different identity, I would say, outside of my brand. It was an identity that I would say followed kind of the rules, right? Went to a good college, checked off all the boxes, even pressured my husband to get married after some time because I was like, yo, it's been 9 years. Like, this is how life is supposed to go. Like, get with the fucking program. And so that's kind of how my attitude was. So I would say about me is really, I followed everything that I thought I was supposed to do. I'm always kind of seeking, like, always comparing, like, you know, I want what everyone has, keeping up with the Joneses mentality. And then I think I finally realized it's been a slow kind of realization, but especially when my dad passed away, which is such a pivotal moment in my life and why I wanted to get into coaching, podcasting, and the brand, is really that, you know, life is just going to move by really quickly. And if I'm always focused on the expectation versus what I really want and making sure those I'm around, especially my husband, you know, making him proud, making him happy in our relationship, it's kind of all bullshit if none of that is there. And so that's when I kind of woke up and realized, like, let me work on this. Let me admit, like, where I'm coming from and own the issues that I struggle with, which is pretty evident across my podcast, my TikTok, all my reels on Instagram. Like, I'm pretty honest about who I am. And I think that's really just who I am, is like standing in conviction in the truth of my challenges, my issues. And I think that's why why specific women have wanted to work with me in general.
Yeah, I love what you said about standing in conviction in the truth of my challenges. Mm-hmm. That's such a powerful way of kind of saying, like, I am going to stand in the challenges versus stand like on some pedestal. And that's how you lead. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're such a very vulnerable space to ask for help in, which is in our relationships, which inevitably means our relationship with ourselves. Like, it's hard to be like, I need help in this area. Like, I think that it really takes you being like, having the leadership that you have to just be like, yo, I've been there. I'm still there now. And here's what I've learned, to kind of like make it safe for people to like lower their guard. So actually, I want to ask you about that. Like, what do you think has allowed you to build trust like as quickly as you have with women who like really trust you with something that is like so intimate? Kind of talk to me a little bit about that, like ownership, sort of like your story without, you know, maybe like the difference between like where people are sharing like wounds versus scars, you know, that sort of thing. Like, kind of talk to me a little bit about how you've been able to do that.
Yeah, totally. So as I was sharing, kind of like previous, still part of my identity is kind of like the outer Trish, the person that they see at my 9-to-5, right? The folks who see me on my LinkedIn, things like that. And so I think, not to say that that's not who I am, but it's only one layer of who I am. And so I think when I go on to making my videos, making my podcast, just showing up in general and talking to my clients or even just my audience, it's not performative, right? Yeah. Of course, like, I have in my mind a way I want to come off because brand is super important. But at the end of the day, it's not performative. Like, I sound kind of blunt sometimes in my podcast and my TikToks. People get riled up, as we know. People have stitched some of my content. They're not liking it. It is what it is.
I'm going to ask you about that.
Yeah, but also, exactly. But also, it's like, that's cool. Like, that's your life. Like, this is what I believe in. And I think it's doing me pretty well. And I have seen, you know, better transformation in my relationship, in my confidence, in how I view myself and how I like view my own happiness and fulfillment. So I stand in my truth. And it's like, I think once you know who you are, and even if, you know, you've got these fucked up layers to yourself or like your shadow, to your point, the wounds, that's kind of what makes you who you are. It's really cliche, but it's really true.
Yeah. And I've even told you this too, about how like whenever there's certain things that I see where I'm just like, I think that that's necessary, that ownership, because especially when we're coming from like something that is so personal, like I would rather, and I think obviously we've seen this with your clients, like I'd rather work with someone who is like owning it and actively like working through it versus like either never had that challenge or it's like some faraway thing. And I think with relationships, like it isn't like you just get to some destination too where like everything is great. It's just like, no, like people want to know, people want to see you talking about the fact that you are in this marriage. You've been in this relationship a long time and like y'all are, you know, y'all are working through stuff on a regular basis. Like that's more aspirational than just being like, I'm going to teach you how to like attract the perfect, you know, relationship. And it's just like, it never has been like butterflies and like roses with you.
For sure. For sure. I think that's just like, people feel really alone. I've noticed this too, when I talk to some of my friends and even like people in the professional space talk about their relationships. I think we talk about this a lot. People tend to open up to me about their relationship.
Yeah.
Because I'm so honest.
Yeah. Like, even before you were a coach, which is so funny because I think that's how you knew you already were a coach, because people were already coming to you and like admitting things to you that they wouldn't with someone else, which means they have to feel safe. They're like, oh, I'm not going to be judged.
For sure.
Yeah.
My husband says it all the time. He's like, people just kind of like tell you stuff. and I'm like, I know, like I make friends randomly and people will just tell me how they're feeling. And like, I have no judgment. Of course, sometimes I have a thought, but like, I really don't give a shit. I think everyone just could do better. I think everyone would feel less heavy if they could truly like acknowledge and admit like the shit that they're going through. And I think people get it a lot, especially relationships. People don't want to talk about it.
I think number one, like people don't want to talk about their relationships with people who know them or like their partner, because they can feel, which is also why I'm like, your friends can't necessarily advise you on your relationship when they like know you, they're going to be impartial. And like, this is not something that like the average person can help you with. And I think sure. It also takes you as the coach being very comfortable in like who you are right now, because people can sense that if you're comfortable with who you are, then they feel like they can tell you anything.
Absolutely. I think you have to model, like, literally, you know me, I'm the type where if I had a breakdown or if I'm like, I'm having a meltdown, it's really hard for me to make content. But when I make a podcast or two about what I'm going through, like sales calls or people just DMing me, like, even if it doesn't always land in something like a for sure yes, it opens up. It just broadens my reach and my audience for sure.
Yeah. And I can say this as a coach who's seen different people and like clients of mine grow in their business, is that people can sense when someone is standing on the stage with like a microphone and a little like pad, and they're just like kind of being inspirational and they're holding back like certain things. It's almost like someone's keeping you at arm's reach. And not that we owe our audience every bit of vulnerability, but it's almost like how people present, like, you know, when you're talking to a coworker and they're just like, how was your weekend? And it's just like, you can kind of sense that they're like, kind of, there's giving you the elbow a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just think that like you being comfortable, like literally with yourself and in your skin and in all the spaces that you are, even when you're not, you know, the most confident or you're going through it, mm-hmm. that like people can sense that with coaches as well. And I think that's a thing that you just naturally do, which is also how people were like, hey, I want to work with you, including women who aren't like you. Because that's one thing that I wanted to ask you about too.
Yeah, for sure. All my clients are super different. And I'm sure all my future clients will continue to be different. Yeah.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you to walk us through like from we started working together at the end of August. We had a VIP day like very early in September. You landed your first client before the end of September. Yeah. Take us from like VIP day, the very beginning, to like landing your first client less than a month later. Like, what were you actually doing to make this happen in terms of creating content, showing up for your business, balancing a full-time job? Like, what did you actually do?
Yeah, a lot. And I think you know that. So like, especially because it was exciting and it was new. I think that's the part we talk about this too, right? Offline, like when you're getting into running your own business, especially if you're a coach or you're going to be posting your life on social media to a certain extent, the beginning, it's like very shiny, it's like shiny syndrome, right? What do they call it? Shiny vault. It's like a toy. And like, exactly. You're like so excited. It's something new. And so there was a lot of for sure momentum that I had in that first month, because I was making those real business, like entrepreneurial decisions that some people would like old me, who wasn't ready to have a business before my dad passed, before my self kind of awareness and everything, I would have been like, I'm not investing. I used to be like $20. Why would I invest that? $50. And then it was like thousands of dollars. And I remember I bought my domain from someone who already was sitting on it, right? You know what I mean? I hadn't made a dollar yet. And I was like, let's buy this damn website. It was also really, really encouraging to have my husband, who was like, that's nothing. Like, buy the domain. Like, you have to make decisions like you're making $1 million. Good reason. You know what I mean? And I watched him do that when he did a business venture of his own, right? And while he's not doing it today, he still has zero regrets about trying it, because it's all part of the journey of eventually, if you want to re-pick up that business or pivot into a different direction. So I treated it that way. I didn't hesitate for the most part. I wrote up a bunch of podcast content that's been sitting with me, right? So I had all these ideas. Mm-hmm. I lived and breathed. Like, I'm very particular with what content I consume. Actually, on my personal Instagram and my business Instagram, I am very, very strategic. I don't have notifications on my personal Instagram, not because I don't want to talk to people, but it's just like, it's not a priority. There's only so much energy we can put in a day. So my notifications were only on for feminine purpose handles for TikTok, Instagram, et cetera. Yep. And I only followed people and accounts that were actually going to help benefit me.
That is like super key. I hadn't even thought of that. But when you said like you were very careful about who you followed and what you consumed, that is by far, like, whenever I'll see like clients spinning out, they're always talking to me about other people. And I'm just like, everybody's doing different stuff. Like, it's going to always have you doubting yourself, that you'd be so much better off being in a silo. But I think people do that because they're afraid to be wrong, and that someone on the outside is comparing them too. But they're the person comparing themselves.
For sure.
And sure. That's why I'm like, no, like you literally, that's one of the things I did early on was just like relentlessly unfollowed. I muted my own coach at the beginning because I was like, I can't compare myself to another business coach.
Totally.
Like, that's so, so, so important.
Totally. Yeah. Even if I follow you and I follow other coaches and I'm not literally like absorbing everyone's content all the time, because again, like I have a full-time job. I have a relationship. I take care of my health and my, like, you know, I'm prioritizing certain pillars of my life. And so it's like, when it comes to business, it needs to just literally be like, what am I getting from this? And what, how is it going to help me? And if it's just like clout and it's just noise, then like, bye. Absolutely. That's kind of my mentality. Like I've literally told my friends too, and my coworkers, because some of them thankfully are like super supportive. And I would tell them like, if I don't follow you, like it's not personal. Like it's just, I have a vision of what my algorithm will look like and it's only going to help me.
Yeah. So and like, especially in your business account too, it's just like, okay, you can follow people, but it's like, it has a purpose. And like protecting that and protecting your energy and your creative energy, because your best, essentially, you cannot carve out your own lane if you're looking at other people's lanes.
Yep. Yep.
All the time. It's like almost like if you're driving on the freeway and you're just like looking two lanes over, you're going to start to drift.
I used to do it a lot, especially like before I launched the business in the beginning. I would definitely look at a lot of people's content. I would see like, wow, people are going viral, or like, you're just always going to compare yourself. And it's like, she kind of sounds like me, or I sound like her. Someone even said I was like biting off some other person. And just because I had an intro, that's always the same. Okay. That's literally like TikTok, Instagram Reel 101. Like if you really want to train people to remember who you are. And someone was like, you're following that girl because you have lipstick and nails. And I know who they're talking about. She's super famous on Instagram. And I'm like, I'm not her at all.
Like, but that's the beautiful part. When you're in your own lane, you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, like what is even happening? I don't know what other people are doing. Like,
it's just people think that like it's going to run out of, you're going to run out of space because it's being saturated. There are a lot of people already doing it, but that's just not true.
Yeah. No. That really lends itself to another thing that I like really wanted to ask you, but also reflect back to you about landing clients quickly requires you not saying the same thing as everybody else. So like, I think it was very evident that you weren't looking around, because, and I'll reflect things back to you sometimes when I see them, where I'm just like, I don't see any other coach even in relationships, dating, like femininity, there's all these different overlap coaches, like nobody talking about what you're talking about. I wanted to know, like, what do you think, like, what is it? Maybe I'll ask it in this way. Yeah. What makes you completely unlike anyone else in your space?
Such a good question. I would say really what it is that, first of all, like, I've been in a relationship for a really long time, which is a flex in modern day society, in a high income earning potential area, like where we live, right? So that in and of itself, I'm like, I know what it's like to actually be with a man for this long.
Yep.
Average run-of-the-mill man, right? So that would be my first like perspective that I think is super unique, is that like I've actually like really stuck it out in our long-term relationship. And I've found a way to, I would say it's a big flex that like my husband and I still really like each other after this. It's really hard. So that would be one of the biggest things. And then I would say the second part to that is, I actually know what it's like to balance and, you know, being in your, what you call boss bitch energy of like, I have a strong flex in my professional career, right? Like I definitely worked really hard to get to where I am. And at the same time, I've also had to learn that I have to pivot who I am, because you cannot always be the same person in every space. And like, what does that really mean? So I would say that's like, those are like two big things. Like, I'm actually in a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
I admittedly openly tell people all the time, as you know, on my podcast and all of my social media accounts, that like, I have thought about not wanting to be in this relationship. My husband and I have been through like hell trying to figure out, like, because we grew up together from early 20s to mid 30s now.
And yeah, so, which is really hard.
Crucial years.
Because you are not the same person. I think it's way different to start a relationship at 30 and go to 40 or early 40s than it is from your early 20s to your 30s.
Absolutely. It's completely different. So I would say those are two of the biggest things that make me different. And then, of course, like, I'm a woman of color and I'm Filipino, but I think that goes without being said when you see my face, which is why I love showing my face on any social media account, because I think women are actually immediately going to be like, oh, this is like a very interesting perspective where I kind of I like being a little controversial in the sense of like, I like going around this, like we talk about this gray area of like, I'm not saying you need to be traditional, but I'm not saying that this modern feminist way is also going to give you what you want. It's somewhere in the middle.
And I think understanding where we came from in terms of being daughters of immigrants. So I wanted to ask you about that as far as like, when you're daughters of immigrants specifically, like, why is it that we struggle with our femininity in a very unique way?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And I love this topic. So I also have that podcast episode. So I feel like I'm going to say similar things, but I have some additional thoughts around it. So when you're a daughter of immigrants, oftentimes I feel like we go to extremes. We're either going to come out a carbon copy of some kind of traditional feminine archetype, right? Which is like, get married at a certain age, you got to serve your husband, right? It's like how my mom was passive. Like he's the head of the household. You always should cook and clean. Like that's kind of like already dictated for you. So that's one side I would say is how women get impacted is they believe that they should do it. And so they might do it. Or on the flip side, they're going to disdain anything that has to do with tradition, right? Yeah. Women are like, I'm never going to cook for my man. And like, that's fine if like you genuinely are in a relationship where maybe the man loves to cook and you're not going to cook. But if you're going to enter it and just be like, hell no to everything traditional, I think that there's an opportunity to actually take a step back and wonder how much am I being influenced from this, you know, opposite side of the coin of tradition.
Yeah. One of the things too that like I didn't really think about until like we were working together was because obviously as someone who also serves daughters of immigrants, I've really kind of like I'm always fascinated with like what makes our experience like unique. Mm-hmm. And even though like our parents can be from different countries and all the different things, but I think one of the things is that you kind of talked about how we've in many cases witnessed very different relationship dynamics, like one or the other in our own parents. So either like the passive mother, kind of like how you've described, or it was like the mother who was doing everything and mm-hmm. like mad at everybody for it and was just sort of doing all of like running all the hats, but like couldn't advocate for herself and like was kind of always. And so then you see that and you're like, well, damn, I don't want that. And so you sort of touched upon that, but I think like that's for sure. Like I've seen that happen where it's like, we've seen our mom be like the strong one and sort of do everything that like by default, that's who we become. And I'm like, eldest daughters for sure could just be like, I'm going to default to taking charge in every situation.
Totally. Yeah. And as the eldest child, I mean, there's like the, what is it? Like sibling hierarchy, psychology, whatever, right? Where like, depending on where you are in the family, it definitely has a lot to do with how you'll turn out. Like it'll impact you. So my sister and I talk about this too, right? And my husband, we have siblings. We talk about how there are a lot of similarities with like oldest siblings, especially like eldest daughters. Like my sister-in-law and I are really, really close. And we identify on a lot of similar things because you're the first kid. So like your parents are figuring it out. Also, like if you're a daughter of immigrants and you're the oldest, it's an interesting position to be in. As you know, it's just like you have all this pressure because your parents also don't know what the hell they're doing in this new country navigating this space. And so they're like still thinking probably in this old wave, but then you're also growing up here and you're like, but that's not how it is here. And you want to assimilate and you want to, you know, go with the wave and act the way like other kids your age are acting who've probably been here for at least one or two generations plus.
Mm-hmm. And we just start to ask ourselves different questions and desire different things. I think when we're not like in survival mode and we can choose relationships from like a different place, I think mm-hmm. than like maybe like our parents did. So I think that's, you really did like in so many ways go into like what I think is an unmet need, like an untapped market, something that I talk about a lot around how like, instead of occupying the same space, it doesn't matter how many people are doing what you're doing. No one is necessarily speaking to that audience in that particular way to be able to bring up those things where you're completing a sentence or a thought in their mind where it's like, oh yeah, no, like that is me, and just solving it in like a different way. So
totally.
That's for sure something that I've seen with you. I wanted to also ask just about like when I asked you earlier around like, how did you land the client so quickly? And you were like, I did a lot. And you were just, you know, really like committed to taking just different actions, and you were like, I found a domain, someone else owned it. You went and you were like, I'm going to negotiate with this person. I'm going to buy this domain. You took $1 million. You were like, what would the $1 million like version of myself do? Like she wouldn't be going back and forth about like this domain. It's like, okay, no, this is the brand I'm going to grow with. I remember you also setting up your flow desk and your quiz, and you had all these issues with the quiz. And I just remember us talking about it, and you were like, I'm going to figure this thing out. Like you came in like swinging to like figure things out no matter what. What do you think? And maybe I wonder how you'd see this versus how I'd see this, but like, what do you think that you were willing to do that created these clients that maybe other people might have been like, this is too hard or it's not working?
I mean, you have to treat it like you have to enjoy what you're doing, and you have to literally be like, you have to believe that you are a coach. So that's really what it is. I think you have to actually believe it. And I'm not going to lie, I think that's where I'm super grateful for my professional, you know, experience, because as we've talked about, I already coach people in my own way at my 9 to 5. And so I had to take a step back and realize, like, you know, I had to acknowledge and finally admit, like, I am a coach, because at first I wasn't sure. I was like, no, like, this is what a coach looks like. You know, I know people who are coaches. And so I just had a vision of what it was. And it was like, no, I'm already a damn coach. So I'm going to act like it.
In your job, you use the same skills.
Totally.
That's kind of what you're alluding to.
And it's what I talk about on my podcast too. It's like confidence and self-trust. Like, you don't gain confidence just because you choose to be confident. Mm-hmm. Like, you gain confidence because you make decisions that scare you, or decisions that are not in line with who you are now, but who you want to be. So like a girl who doesn't, like, if I'm coaching a client, one of the things we're talking about, which I don't really discuss on my podcast or any of my TikToks, but it's just like feeling healthier, working on her body, and, you know, having a better relationship, losing weight, all of the stuff that most women deep down, I think, are thinking about, because you're a woman.
Yeah.
I was telling her, you know, like, you don't just go to the gym one day and you're like that confident person at the gym. It's because you go every day, or you wake up and you prioritize it. And then in a few months, you're going to realize, like, you have that confidence because you showed up. Same thing for the business. Like, if I hesitate about making a quiz, if I hesitate on investing money into it, if I hesitate about putting my face on my TikToks, if I hesitate on all those things, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. You'd be sitting around waiting to feel confident or clear.
Yeah. And then I just have to be honest, is how I coach my clients too. Like, it's okay if you don't want it that bad, but just stop saying that you want it, or focus on something else then.
Absolutely. And that, honestly, that is so much truth. It's like, it's okay if you're saying that I don't want it. And it's not to say like you don't want it at all, but there's generally, what happens is there's a part of us that actually like wants to stay where we are, because where we want to go either requires something we're not willing to give, or it scares us too much and we're not ready. But then there's a reason why, you know, like the actions don't happen.
Exactly.
And when you said that, like, confidence doesn't happen as well, you didn't say it in these words, but it's like, confidence isn't just a feeling that just happens. You wait for it and then you go do it. You basically make decisions that force you to practice confidence as a verb in action.
Totally.
In the same way that I will see with clients, like, clarity will come through choosing actions that will make it come. Capacity, when you're like, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to handle this, was like, well, capacity comes from making the decisions that make you have to step into a different identity, and then it grows with it. So it's like waiting for the feeling versus making the decisions to choose the actions that are going to make you practice it. It's like being like, I want to be healthy, and then you don't go to the gym. So it's like you have to decide to go to the gym membership and be like, well, through this, I'm going to be that person. So I think that was really important what you said.
Exactly. In the same way how it's the same like mindset approach to anything. To a woman who says, I want to respect my husband, or I want him to respect me more, or I want this in our relationship, but you're just going to sit around and act the same for the rest of the relationship. Well, your relationship's not going to change.
So it's like, nope.
Same thing.
Change, I'm not going to, but like when someone else changes, then I'll change.
We talk about this a lot when our one-on-ones, but like, it's so interesting. I don't want to be mean and say it's so, like, it is interesting that we think that we, as especially women, right? Because we're speaking to women, our clients are women. We would think that, oh my God, I just want this to change. But you also on the flip side are like, it's so dependent on someone else.
You're sitting and waiting. I know that's just, I think anybody in a waiting pattern for anything, it's just not going to be a good situation, because what happens is like, you're so externally focused on like when this happens and this happens and when this person says this, that you're literally like, there's a plate right in front of you that you can pick up and you're just like, no, but I'm not going to do any of the things that I can control.
Yeah.
I need to wait for other things to change.
100%. That's exactly what it feels like. And that's when I know what kind of client I'm going to work with, because I've talked with a few clients, potential clients, that it just didn't, you know, pan out, and it's okay because I can sense, and I had to learn to get better, and I'm still learning to get better at this, is sensing that we're like, we're not ready. Like we're not either not a good fit, or you're just not ready, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Like I am working on building up that confidence to also just listen to my intuition about that too.
Yeah. I think it's almost like sensing that it requires radical ownership.
Yeah.
You embody radical ownership and you can sense when someone is like, I'm just not there yet. And that is okay.
Totally.
But like sensing that and being like, okay, well, this totally. Is that I can do as your coach. But the part that you own is actually the most important, because even if you were putting in 90 and they were putting, you know, it's like they still have to pick up their piece.
Absolutely.
So on that, well, a similar note, I think just about, I think this has really fueled like your confidence to show up authentically in like the way that you are, and not really have the way that you're like other people's thoughts about you, or potentially your thoughts about other people's thoughts is actually more accurate. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about criticism and feedback and comments on TikTok, because I, as a coach, hear this a lot around like, well, people are going to say this, or they're going to, and it's all like thoughts about what you think people are going to say. So people fear receiving hate or criticism based on being more visible, having a perspective, but that never seemed to hold you back. So like anyone who's listening, who's afraid of like pissing people off, who are not going to pay you anyway.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your perspective on like getting criticism online, and more specifically like TikTok hate. Tell us about it and like how you handled it.
Totally. I mean, I've been talked shit about my entire life, like as a girl, we've all been there. So to me, to be honest, it's, if you're more resilient to it, you'll have a better time. I don't want to say easier time, but it'll be a bit easier for sure to acclimate to this kind of work. Like if you've already been criticized a lot growing up, I think if you're hard on
way of saying that, because I, as a coach to daughters of immigrants, we all have been criticized.
Yeah.
All of us have been criticized, but then we'll say, well, I don't want that to happen again. Versus you're like, well, you've already been criticized, so you know how to handle it, but now you know better about yourself. So okay.
If you're feeling super well, first of all, it's natural. You're going to feel sensitive. I get triggered a lot when people talk shit on my stuff. I've had my heart like racing, and I'm typing, and my husband's like, don't even reply to those insults.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So now I completely would just not reply for the most part to those people, or I'll like throw a message back, but I'm not going to like engage too deeply so that it keeps.
I've seen you respond, and it's very like, you don't engage with it. You respond to it, but it's very much like, I'm not going to get in the pool with you. I'm not going to let you drag me down, but I'm going to respond. And then you'll just be like, okay. And that's, it's not like fighting, but you'll respond in just like such a very like matter of fact, detached way.
I'll just shut it down, basically.
Yeah.
Cause there's nothing else that they can say. And if they keep criticizing me, I just like laugh about it, basically. Like, that's it. So I think one thing is to acknowledge it's natural. If you're listening and you're like, how do I get over this? Like, first of all, I don't think you're going to ever get over it. I think what you're going to do is you're just going to get used to it.
Yeah.
And if it's and if you can't handle that, or you choose to decide, like, I don't know if I can handle this, I think revisiting, like, is this the kind of work you want to do? Or do you want to show up differently in how you show up? Because I don't think it's black or white. Like, just because you might be extremely sensitive doesn't mean like maybe you're not going to show everything, but maybe you're just not going to show certain things. And you know this because we talked about this in one of our last calls, that I don't choose to show my whole life on social media.
Yeah.
Even as a coach. But ironically, I share very deep, vulnerable things about myself, but I won't talk about my day-to-day stuff on my, it's just not my style of social media marketing. Yeah.
No, I think that's a good point about how like, okay, you're going to receive, you may receive, we really don't even know, but that you also can decide what it is that you want to share, or like kind of how, I don't know if the word is like controversial necessarily, but I think that we can decide like what we want that to be. And I think that sometimes the fear is that like, if I say anything that I say, I have to put it through like the lens. And it's like, you actually have no idea like what other people are thinking.
Yeah.
So it really just becomes like this, like you're chasing your own tail and you really just don't know what people are going to say. And I think also if you were, I think you've always been thinking of the person that you're serving when you post. Yep. And knowing that like criticism doesn't come from those people.
For sure. It's just a small fraction of people that are, and the only times I was really heavily criticized was when my TikTok video went kind of viral. That was like, and even then it was like 90
talking video.
Yes. That's like that. 95%, if I could quantify it, were good engagement. It was like really high positive engagement. It was like, you know what I mean? It's like choosing to look at the glass half empty. Like, of course there's going to be haters. It's got 1.2 million views. Like someone's going to say something rude.
Right. Like, and that's such a good reminder too, that it's like, okay, are we willing to go through the possibility that 5% of people might have something to say for 90% yes. being like, wow.
Saved that, it.
Yeah.
So, like a lot of people saved it. So it's like, and they were sending it. So whether I think, honestly, my biggest advice to anyone who's thinking about this topic, because I know there's people who are listening who are probably like, what's the secret? Who fucking cares? Like, stop thinking about it. And if that means like turning off your notifications when you post something controversial for a day, then do it. Or turn it off for 2 days. Yeah. Or like hire someone to do your social media.
Yeah.
Or like turn off comments maybe on a video.
If I honestly, like,
there's yeah. It's not black or white.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's one thing too. I just think like whenever we're like, oh, and then I have to go and check. And it's just like, no, why don't you post actually right before you have a meeting? Or like just post and then like intentionally yes. notifications are off. No, you don't need to yes. be on. Even if you're not saying anything controversial, one thing that I'll talk to is like if you have like anxiety around like saying certain
things. Yeah.
I actually wouldn't stay on to do the whole thing where they're like, you need to engage with people in the minutes after a post. I'm like, you honestly could do whatever the fuck you want.
It doesn't matter.
I'd rather you just post and like walk away from your phone for
yes.
12 hours. It doesn't matter. Just say the thing. Yeah. It's fine. Because when you come back to it, the urgency is going to be gone around.
Like, whatever works for you. So like that's why when people are like, you do it a certain way, it's like, that's not true. It's whatever's going to work for you. Like I actually am really good at that. I post TikTok and I forget about it.
Yeah.
I don't even go on and my notifications just go off. And I'm, you know why? Because if I don't have a sales call, I'm chilling.
Yeah.
Like if nothing came out, then I'm just waiting and I'm just going to keep making and I'm just going to keep hustling and making the content and showing up. And I don't really, I'm not there to be popular or for like, you know what I mean? For the clout, like that's just not what it's about. And if that's what you're thinking, then maybe it's kind of a different type of, maybe you want to be an influencer. Like that might be different.
And I think an important difference too. I think about like when you have a business and you're creating a brand, you're putting things out there mm-hmm. that I think that there's useful like things that we notice and then things that aren't useful that are kind of just like fidgeting and you're just kind of like mucking stuff up. That I think that when you said, like, I just post and then I forget about it, it's like, I actually think that's useful when we're growing a business. Like, you actually just need data. I'd rather that you be like, I don't know, I posted like 50 things, something's going to work. I'm just going to post 50 things. And then maybe like we can look at like, oh, okay, this is so interesting. These like walking, talking, unscripted, off the top of my head, like videos seem to be doing really well. Then we can make some judgments about it. Where it doesn't help is I posted one thing, I'm going to like sit and ruminate over like what people said and I'll see that attachment. So I think that you just saying like, I post and I just don't, like, it just is what it is. Like, I'm just going to be chilling either way. Is like, then you're willing to do the essentially the long game.
To end off that topic, I feel, because I know a lot of people worry about this because I was there too. It's just it's like a muscle. You have to tell yourself every day, who cares?
Yeah.
Like if you're concerned, it's saying something about you.
Yeah.
Like if you're so concerned about, like, because I've been there, I've said maybe one or two things and I'm like, ooh, I'm thinking about it too much. And I'm like, what is that saying to me? Like, oh, maybe because certain people follow me. Okay, well, maybe I should block certain people. Like, just think about that, right? It's like, and if not, then you're giving so much power to something and it's just kind of like, you're going to live your life like that. Like, just live your life like that.
Yeah. And it's just a game that you can't win either. So
yeah,
no, I think that makes so much sense. I wanted to kind of switch gears a little bit and ask you about like last year being a really pivotal year for you that like kind of really like awoke you and shook you mm-hmm. that ultimately brought you to knowing that you wanted to be a coach. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, what is it that shaped you that made you realize that you wanted to coach women in this particular area, like in their relationships?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
grandmother as well was like part of it, even though you already were a coach at that time. But like, I know that that shaped you as well to be like, this is why this is important.
Yeah, for sure. So as we talked about, like I lost my dad in June and he, you know, like many daughters of immigrants, we had a complicated relationship. Mm-hmm. He was emotionally unavailable. I love him. He did everything he could do. Like I've accepted and made peace that you know, our parents gave us what they could. Like, I don't think they held back. I think it was just, that's all that they knew. Yeah. And so when he passed away, I really, like, I was with him and I realized, like, it's a fucking crazy experience, if anyone. But it's also, like, a gift to be able to be with your parent when they pass away. Like, there's really nothing else that you can ask for. It just kind of upped, like, my life experience on another level, right? It's like people who don't experience that, you won't know what it feels like. And it can feel really lonely. And so when I was going through the grief, I kind of knew, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I think a day or two after he passed away, I was like, I gotta fucking do something. Like, there's something. And even if it's not something I'll do forever, right? Like, who knows if I'll coach forever the way to the capacity and the way that I do today. But I needed to try something different. And I wanted to do something just like radically different than what I thought I would ever do, or like what was, again, like on paper, the appropriate professional way of how I've always been. And so immediately I already decided, like, I want to like look into, my first thought was investing in a coach because I had like more personal life coaching. And I was like, okay, I think I would want like a business coach. And I followed a few accounts already. And I started realizing, like, when my dad passed, that I had a lot of like wounded, like masculine or like, you know, that energy from my dad, because when he got sick the first time, I was going through puberty. I was 12. So like the way your brain develops, like you have a sense of identity at that time. So I kind of like became a little girl version of my dad, which was really, really cool in some ways.
Yeah.
Like it definitely makes, it's part of who I am. It's what attracted for sure my husband and what attracts people to me, but it's not what keeps them around. And so that's when I had to realize, like, there's this, it's so different, right? Like what attracts people versus retains them. It's like,
oh, interesting.
Perfect characteristics, you know?
That's so interesting. It just makes me think what attracts people is not always what keeps them around.
No.
Tell me a little, just, you know, I don't know if you have to go do a whole thing on it, but very curious what you mean by that.
Yeah. Like I'm very charismatic. So if you're like, if you can identify with like, I'm very good at attracting like guys. Like if I wanted a guy, like just there's no way to put it. It's like, it sounds cocky, but it's just the truth. Like if I liked a guy, I was like growing up, I was like, okay, I'm going to find a way to connect with him. I'm going to win him over. I'm kind of like a guy in that way. Again, my dad's energy, right? It's like I'm the guy in the relationship, like in the beginning. And so definitely it's what drew, like, I would say men who like a challenge towards me, right? Because it's like, I'm so confident. I make the first move in the sense of like, talk to them and like start a conversation. So, but the thing is, like, that same strong alpha, like go-getter boss bitch energy is exhausting 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's cute and it's sexy in the beginning, but when you live with someone and when she's not she's not flexible and she's not willing to be accommodating and like make it about you sometimes, it's like,
yeah.
No strong man will want to be around that forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And so like with that, then you realize that you really wanted to do something where you're like, I know, and this was in you. And then that is what ultimately you were just like, okay, this has been in me. I need to bring this out. Like, however this like looks.
Yeah.
And then you shared this on your podcast on Feminine Purpose. So I think anyone who's like resonating with anything you're sharing should definitely like check out your podcast.
Yeah.
You said something that like brought me to tears, honestly, when I listened to your podcast episode about your grandmother and like how we, and I can even attest, I've been this person as well, mm-hmm. that I will witness the self-sacrifice that I saw in my grandmother, in my mom, and the resentfulness that kind of came from that and all of that, that sometimes maybe like not seeing the beauty behind that, Tell me a little bit about like what the loss of your grandmother, like you to see and appreciate in a different way.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I grew up such a, again, like modern day woman of like, I never wanted kids, like career, material things. Like those are the things that matter, like professional accolades. Again, like that's just what I valued. But I realized that like, yes, to a certain extent, those things matter to me, but they're kind of inherited values that I took from society because society has such a preference for masculine things, right? Like it's a man's world, they say. Yeah. So like even women, we try to feel like we have to be men, even the dichotomy, like boss bitch. Like it feels so masculine to be a strong woman.
Accomplishments, like
doing,
subconsciously, I think we're just like, you know, the doing it all and the getting it done, all those things, which are great. And
Exactly. So like with my grandma, growing up, I was like, I'm never going to be like my grandma. Like we rarely got along. I was like, I would joke that like I was her least favorite grandchild. And I mean, you know, looking back, I can definitely see it's just such a different cultural, it's just a cultural difference, right? And like, because my grandma didn't get to grow up with the opportunities and the choices that I have. So it's like, you know, like that's how I saw it. Like she didn't finish college, which, you know, she got married to my grandpa pretty young, considered, you know, to how we would, the ages that we get married these days. And so, yeah, I just didn't really understand her. But like, when she, as I, you know, matured and entered my 30s, and my true values became clearer to me when I lost my dad. And then I lost my grandma. And that just kind of solidified my values, which really are family at the end of the day, right? Whether that's me having a kid or that's me valuing my family, like my parents, my in-laws, like culture, tradition, like as much as I'm not a traditional woman and I'm not very like strong Filipino culturally, like, you know, I don't practice the religion and things like that. And my husband doesn't even practice his as much, but we have an appreciation and respect for our families and our cultures. And we still prioritize that. And so I think that's when I realized like, okay, my grandma, even though we're really different, everyone wanted to be around her when she was passing away. Mm. Like every day, a bunch of people whose lives she touched were visiting her. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying you can't have the career and the family, but I highly doubt all of your people you did business with when you're 100 years old or 90 or whatever are all going to visit you in hospice. That's all I'm going to say.
And that's going to be a different. And I think those, if they were, it's not because you connected over business. It's because you connected and you were, they were like people that you affected and impacted. Like
Exactly. Yeah. If there are people in your professional space who show up for your, you know, you when you're sick, for those big life moments, they'll be there because you intentionally built real relationships with them, which I love to do with my colleagues, the ones that I'm close with, because it's like, that's what really matters at the end of the day. It's not the working stuff.
Yeah. I think that's the big takeaway. It's just like what really matters at the end of the day. You said something too about like writing your own obituary and kind of being like, mm-hmm. if you wrote it, like, what would you want people to say about you? And generally those things are going to be less about the achievements and more about the relationships and how you impact people.
For sure. For sure.
Whole thing. I wanted to close out with just a kind of an open question around like, is there anything that I didn't ask that you want to share or just anything that you want people to know relative to literally anything that you've shared?
Yeah, I think probably my biggest thing that I always want to leave off and like just share with people, because if it's not obvious, is like there's like feminine, like, because you know people are like, what does femininity mean? Or like feminine, it's like soft, and which it is, but like I want women to walk away knowing that like femininity isn't some kind of like, you know, character that you put on. It's not a personification. It's not always being the way that like your grandma or your mom modeled it. It's not even what I probably think it is. It's going to be different for everyone, but I think at the core of being like a feminine woman is a woman who accepts and learns to not just accept, like embrace and like appreciate about herself that it's her femininity as a woman and being not a man and being like a true woman who has a 28 to 35 day cycle that probably isn't as resilient to stress the same way biologically men are. And that's okay. And that being a mother, you know, it doesn't mean it has to be traditional all the time. Like, you can be working, you can't, like, you do that, right? Like, you can do all of those things, but to shy away from your femininity or think that it's weak or that you have to be strong in a certain, like, capacity all the time, and that's, like, what makes you a woman, is, like, it's not true. Like, it's totally okay to be vulnerable and soft. And then at certain parts in your day, maybe when you're at work, you're needing to lean into, like, that more assertive persona of who you are. That's part of who you are. But I think it's really learning to balance, like, who are you with in this particular situation? Like, getting pulled over by a cop, if it's a guy versus a girl, you need to think about how you're going to approach the conversation. And I think just thinking very black or white isn't going to work. I think that's, like, a skill that I wish all women could learn. And I'd love to coach more women on beyond their relationship. Of course, in the capacity, in the context of, like, a relationship, but even beyond that is, like, how do you navigate the world and feel like it's not a burden to be a woman, but actually a privilege?
And you know what this makes me think of too? And you've touched upon this on the episode around, like, there's so many reasons why that's hard, but that doesn't mean we have to, like, it needs to be carried forward. So it may be hard because you saw what you thought was, like, femininity, but it was really, like, passivity and, like, you know, or maybe you were hurt because you felt like, oh my gosh, like, I either let people walk all over me, or I witnessed my mom doing this and I don't want to be this way. Yep. And I think that past hurt is what brings our defenses up to say, like, well, I have to take charge. And I think that we can hold space and compassion for that at the same time as saying, like, okay, but maybe are we safe now to try that, like, on, and just, like, what might that look like right in front of us right now, you know? And I know that that's a big part of what you help your clients do too, that it doesn't, you know, just, like, happen overnight, but it's almost looking at, like, what are all the small ways that I'm holding on to control right now that I actually don't want to.
Yes. I'm literally, my husband and I were just talking about this last night, like, talking about life plans. And, like, I had a version or an idea of, like, the steps, you know, I think it's steps, like, this is the step, we're going to do this, we'll do this. He's like, we didn't align on that. Like, we need to talk that out. Like, I don't agree with that. Right. And it's like, oh, and so still having to practice that all the time, that, like, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to get what I want. I think we often think that, like, it's like a winner or loser, like someone's in a pool or take, and, like, it's a compromise. I think a lot of times it's just, why am I trying to control this so much?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I had to ask myself that last night. And then I finally, like, I like did a meditation this morning and I really sat with it and I was like, you know what? He had a point. Like, it's okay. Like, and if I learning to, like, trust your partner, maybe you don't see eye to eye on how you guys want to do things, but, like, he has a valid perspective. And I think it's a disservice to think that your perspective is always right, because then you can just be alone.
Yeah.
If that's what you want.
Yeah.
And it's fine, but that's your choice.
And I think it makes sense when we're like, control is what I trust. I only trust and feel safe when I'm in control versus, yeah, like, am I possibly in a situation where I am safe to let go of control? And it's like, you have, even in a marriage that you've been in for so many years, of relationships, like, how that can still be the thing that takes the lead in the driver's seat unless you notice.
Totally. You just coach yourself, right? It's like, that's a perfect example of how I would coach a client, is like, I'm worried about this. And it's like, okay, why is that so scary? And then you get to the root of it. It's like, well, because of this. Okay, let's talk about that. What about that? Does that bring up, until it gets to usually the root, which oftentimes is, I don't think I'm enough, or I'm off track, or I'm comparing myself to, that's oftentimes what it is, which is what mine was.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Final question is, how can clients follow you and connect with you? And, like, how can they work with you?
Yeah, of course. So I am on TikTok, as we've been talking about. So I'm pretty active on TikTok. I'm on Instagram as well, but definitely TikTok, just because I just love the algorithm and my people's there are just cool. And I feel like that's where I found my little space of women, but it's just at Feminine Purpose. If you also are interested, you can take the quiz that Mariela and I talked about that you also helped me make. So thank you so much. And that quiz will really just kind of give you some insight into maybe what kind of, I coined some feminine archetypes of what you might be. And yeah, I also have my podcast, which I'm sure we'll have linked here. I put out episodes every 2 weeks. So that would be the best way. And I am always open to meeting new folks, whether you want to be a client or you just want to connect. I'm always down to open my network, because I know when I was struggling in my relationship, which I still struggle, but at the peak of it, and, like, not knowing, am I alone, or, like, any of this stuff and finally waking up and realizing like there's some shit that I want to change, I didn't really know who to talk to about it with. That's also why I coach. It's just because it's like, you're not alone. Like, and I think we all provide a business that I think at the core of a business and an entrepreneur is providing something that you couldn't find. And so that's why I did it.
Yeah. I think we all coaches in the heart of a coach is like, we created what we once needed. And I think that was definitely the case for you. So, and I can totally resonate. So yes, thank you so much. And we will have all of your info linked in the show notes, TikTok, like IG, your podcast, all of that. So, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. I felt like you just really illustrated a lot of things that I know that my audience really probably like needed to hear in terms of just like letting yourself be seen, like really owning like your thought leadership, but also just like knowing that ultimately, like none of the things that people say are really a reflection of like the person that you are, and just really, really like owning that. So thank you.
For sure. For sure. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's been really fun. I haven't been on another podcast in a while. So it's different.
Yeah. The first of many.
For sure. Awesome. Thank you.